Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Krishnadhan Prabhuji, and Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic, Let Us Move for New Habits from Coming New Year. Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, are you present on the call, Prabhu? Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. And Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic, Let Us Form New Habits from Coming New Year. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavaj Pranamadvashtu Srila Prabhupada, Atharashtu Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic. I'll hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांध्रस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण वेलकम यू ऑल फॉर टुडेज स्पेशल टॉपिक forming a new habits in the upcoming new year.
So today being 31st of 2018 and tomorrow we are entering the new year. From a Vaishnava perspective, there is no much significance of new year because our new year starts on Gaurabdha, that is appearance day of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our calendar is also from one Gaur Purnima to another Gaur Purnima. What changes on the new year is basically just a calendar on a wall. But more specifically, people take resolutions. They take inventory. In Sanskrit, it's called as Sihavalokan. So devotees also don't want to miss a chance and utilize this as an opportunity to make progress in our devotional life as well. So Simhavalokan, it means Simha is lion. You might have seen lion in the jungle. In the forest, when the lion runs, all of a sudden it stops somewhere in between. It looks back just to understand how much distance I have covered, and then it looks in the forward direction, how much distance I have to go and cover. So this is called as Simha Avalokan. Avalokan means is to see. So to see in the fashion in which the lion sees, that is called as Simha Avalokan. So devotees, they also use this new year as an opportunity, or 31st December as an opportunity to take inventory of the things one has done or one has committed in this year, and what kind of changes one need to bring in the upcoming new year. And this is a special human prerogative over animals, in a sense that we human beings can always strive to do things in a better way. May it be fulfilling the basic necessities of life, like communication, or may it living a purposeful life for that matter. Animals can never think of bringing a positive change in their life, which is always a driving force for humans, and therefore we discuss that people take new year resolutions. Many of us have experienced that many a times these resolutions soon turn into dissolutions later, maybe after the first week of Jan or maybe the month of Feb. So we lack consistency. We all know law of gravity. Anything which goes up has to come down. this law of gravity is applicable not only for things, but also to the standards we follow. I'll repeat, law of gravity is applicable not only for things, but also for the standards we follow. We always need to make an effort to go against gravity. Things, once we throw them up, they will come down automatically, naturally by the force of gravity. But if we want to take things high up in the air, a lot of force, and that's what we learn for a satellite launch, tremendous energy needs to be exerted on the Earth, then the satellite can be propelled in the air or in the orbit of the Earth. So a lot of energy is required to go up, but almost zero energy is required for things to go down because of the effect of gravity. Water also flows from high potential to low potential, but if you want to take water from the low potential or the low level to high level, then we need a powerful pump for that matter. So similarly, our standards, whatever devotional standards we set in our lives, they naturally gravitate downwards, and to uphold them, we need to apply continuous efforts. And hence, to live a life of high standards, to always stick to our resolutions which we make, to be principle-centered in our life, it requires continuous efforts from a sadhaka's end. Obviously, we do believe that we make progress by the mercy of the Lord, but there is also a saying, Lord help those who help themselves. So we need to show from our end that yes, I am committed, I want to make an effort for my betterment. And once you show Lord our eagerness to get His mercy, then we will be making ourselves eligible recipient for His mercy. So there is a very nice Japanese word in corporate culture is being used. It's called as Kaizen. Basically, it's a Japanese word originally introduced to West by Masaki Inai in his book Kaizen, the key to Japanese competitive success in 1986. And today, this Kaizen is recognized worldwide as an important pillar of an organization's long-term competitive strategy. So if we break down this word etymologically, this Kaizen is made up of two different words, Kai and Zen. This Kai means change and Zen means good. So this combined word of Kaizen, it means changed for the better. Or it's also translated as continuous improvement process. In a layman's language, Kaizen brings continuous small improvements in the overall process and eventually aim towards organization success. So if you are thinking of taking your life to a next level, then it's the right time to start applying Kaizen to our life. Therefore, there is a very nice quote, journey of mastery never ends. One time, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj was here in Nashik and someone asked him a question that how we see that the pure devotees, they can maintain their high level of standards. And then Maharaj gave a very stunning reply. He said, they are not born pure devotees. They consciously and conscientiously choose to always maintain their standards. And he was giving his own example as well. If you might have heard his classes in the olden days, he would speak a little faster. Now he's a type of a person, his demeanor is like calm, composed. and gravity, with gravity he speaks. So he said that he has consciously cultivated this habit. Therefore, when we talk in terms of habits, we first make our habits and then our habits make us. So our life is nothing but the decisions we make in our life. Our life is nothing but the choices we make, the habits we cultivate in our life. If we cultivate the habit, or you can say, the, as I told, that the water always flows from high potential to low potential, standards always glide down. So to continue wrong habits is very easy for all of us. Bad habits in the life of a samatha can be being inattentive while chanting, can be offending Vaishnavas, can be not taking reading of Srila Prabhupada's books seriously, can be neglecting prayers. So these can be the bad habits for a sadhaka. So we first make our habits, and then our habits are going to make us. So if we continue this cycle of bad habits, then what is going to happen? Those habits are going to make us, in a sense that if I cultivate, if my aim, if my goal is to please the Lord and maybe to attain His abode, then we need to cultivate the habits step by step, which will take me towards my destination. On the contrary, if we continue with the bad habits which are formed, and most of the times people are not aware of their bad habits. I'm chanting inattentively and I'm not aware. So the habit will be formed, and once that habit is formed, then it's very difficult to break that habit. So therefore it's very essential about each and every activity what we perform in our devotional life, we need to see that am I forming a right habit or not? Or am I succumbing myself to wrong habits? It's very essential. And therefore it says that you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. And you sow a character, you reap a destiny. So it all journey started with the thought to action, to habit, to character, to destiny. Ultimately, the destiny is dependent on the type of actions we do, the type of character we form, the type of habits we develop. So if you want really a good destination in your life, then we need to seriously work on building some positive, good habits in our life, and overcoming the bad habits which we have formed over a period of time since we have started practicing. And the old habits, they die hard, is being said. Whenever we think of making a change in our life, maybe a positive change, I want to be a better person, I want to be a healthy person, and we commit ourselves to a change, you need motivation to get started in the journey of change. But habit is what keeps you going, is being said by Jim Rohn. He says, motivation is what gets you started, habit is what keeps you going. So to keep going in the process of positive change in our habits, in our lifestyle, we need good and positive habits. These days, the dramatic transformation or an incredible success story, we hear about them. The only thing you know is the event that people are talking about. But we don't hear anything about the process that came before it, or about the habits that led to the eventual result.
We see masterpieces around. We see expertise around. We see the kirtan is going on and someone is singing melodiously. Someone is playing mridanga perfectly, meticulously, all the beats. So we see the expert masterpieces, but we see them as event that, yes, this person is a good player. Yes, that's correct. But that expertise has been achieved not overnight. So we need to also see the practice involved in becoming that perfect player. We see athletes, they run and get a gold medal in an Olympic. We see that as events to be celebrated. But behind, if you see, there is a lot of hard work and practice and the formation of habits they have done. They have toiled their blood and sweat for getting that. So we don't have to get always mesmerized by the success or the transformation as an event, but rather look deep into the process involved to coming and reaching to that stage. We are also on a journey of pure devotional life, and our goal is to always please the Lord and enter into the abode of the Lord. But that's not going to happen overnight. We need to constantly, therefore Krishna always talks about this principle of nityam satatam. Always strive hard. Satatam kirtayanto ma yatantascha drudata. He calls this kirtan is not an event. It's a process. It's satatam. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. It needs to be done daily. So when we focus on these processes, then, because the destination is not in our hand, ultimately it depends on Krishna's grace. What is in our hand, we can focus on those small things which are in our hand and then move ahead. Therefore, it's being said, almost every habit that you have, either good or bad, is the result of many small decisions over time. What are small decisions we have taken over a period of time that forms either the good or the bad habit? So if any problem we are facing today is the result of thousands of small decisions made over the course of the years. Similarly, the path of success, good health, strength, fulfillment, devotion, a meaningful life, vitality, is also through thousands of daily decisions which we are going to make. The small decisions you make each day provide the large success you desire later. So the decisions which we are going to take today are going to shape our destiny tomorrow. So when we are entering into a new year, then we can enter with this consciousness that let me be 1% better of what I did. Let my chanting today be, I don't have love for Lord, but I can always check whether my chanting today is better than yesterday, whether my reading of Srila Prabhupada's books today is better than what I did yesterday, whether I am more attentive in my prayers. We can always check and compare, not with others, but with our previous self. So when we do this, then we can embark on the journey of change. And this habit formation, basically, when we talk about habits, there are three steps which every habit follows. So when we can just understand this technical part of how these habits are formed, then it will be very easy for us to form a new good habit and break a bad habit. How these habits are formed, basically, they're called as 3 R's.
The first R is reminder. The second R is routine. And then the third R is the reward. So these three R's of habit loop are reminder, routine, and reward. Just give an example how this loop functions. Imagine you are sitting somewhere and a phone rings. So ringing of the phone acts like a reminder. Ringing of the phone is reminder. You can then, when you answer your phone, that becomes the routine or the action you take. This is the habit itself. And then the third reward is you find out who is calling. That person is your friend and some of your work is done. That is the reward which you have got after answering the call. There is benefit from a habit. So what is this reminder? Reminder is a trigger or initiating event that starts the habit. Routine is the action we make after the reminder or the trigger, which is habit itself. Whenever the phone rings, you respond to the call. And reward is the benefit from it. Means you get to talk to someone you love. So that is the reward you have got. So next time whenever the phone rings, you will make a routine of answering the phone. So whenever we want to start a new habit, we can use these reminders. How we can use these reminders is while cultivating a new good habit, using the current habit as a reminder for the new one. Current habit as a reminder for new one means what? I'm already having some habits and I want to cultivate a new habit. So we can link the new habit with the current habit. Just say, for an example, I want to go to bed. So going to bed is my daily routine in the night. So I can link that with a new habit of brushing my teeth before going to bed. So I brush my teeth, then I go to bed. So similarly, you can link that there are things you do daily and there are things that happen to you. Things that we do daily are like we take a shower, we put on our shoes, we brush our teeth. So these are the routine things, daily things we do. So we can connect a new habit formation with these things which we already do. Or things that happen to you, it means like you see red light signal, you get a text message, there is a commercial on TV, the sun is rising, the sun is setting. So you can link a new habit that, yes, at the time of sunset, I will chant my Gayatri. So we link that. Many times devotees, they miss on their Gayatri. So you can link with the habit that the sun is rising, let me chant my Gayatri. The sun is setting, let me chant my Gayatri. So sunset is linked to the chanting of the Gayatri mantra. So the existing, whatever routine life things we are doing or things that happen, we observe those things, we can link our new habits which we want to form to the things as a reminder. They will remind us of the new habit. I like to share my practical experience that we do chant Prabhupada Panchatattva Mantra and then we start our Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting. So after years, there are chances that the chanting may become mechanical. So I observed that this Panchatattva Mantra, we just chant as a matter of formality. Namo Vishwapadaya, again Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, and then Hare Krishna. So we change a bead, one round is completed, then we again repeat this. So it becomes a habit for us to chant, but most of the times we are not conscious of this Panchatattva Mantra. So I develop a habit that whenever the Panchatattva Mantra, the trigger, it is being used as a trigger, whenever this mantra comes, I have to remember
Panchatattva in Mayapur. So the Panchatattva mantra is chanted, and that is used as a trigger to remember the Panchatattva, lotus feet of Panchatattva in the Mayapur. Then we become conscious of the mantra what I am chanting. So same thing is with Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that when the first thing I do, I have to be conscious. So this is how what existing thing can be used as a trigger for the next good habit to make. And the second step in the reminder is make your habits incredibly easy to start. So any new habit which we want to form, most of the times, let's say I want to develop a good habit of becoming healthy. So I have to make all my choices into a healthy choices, whether it's food, whether it's sleeping, whether it's getting up early, or all lifestyle for that matter. So I want to be healthy, I have to make healthy choices. So incredibly easy to start means what? Therefore, Leo Babuntai has said that start with something so easy that you can't say no to it. Incredibly small things we need to start. And when we start things incredibly small, then we don't have to say no to these incredibly small things which were started. If I want to go to a gym, then on the first day itself, I don't lift 100 kg weight. I start incredibly small. It will not strain me. Let us say a 5 kg weight. I start with a 5 kg weight. When I start with 5 kg weight, then I have the strength to do it. And then gradually I can put on more weight. So a new habit, whenever you want to start, it should be incredibly easy. Because most of the time your mind will deny that, you have to go to gym and then you have to lift so much of weight. Then you can pass by the mind by saying that it's a very small thing I'm going to do. Most of the times we form a habit, but we are not able to continue with the habit or form a long-lasting habit. Then what we need to do? So I'll introduce a concept of identity-based habits. So imagine there are three concentric circles. The first circle is your identity. The second circle is your performance. And then the third circle is your appearance. So inside is the first circle of your beliefs. Therefore, I say the key to building lasting habits is focusing on creating a new identity first of you. A current behaviors are simply a reflection of current identity. And what you do now is a mirror image of the type of the person you believe that you are. So to change your behavior for good, you need to start believing new things about yourself. And performance and appearance goals are great, but they are not same as habits. If you are already doing a behavior, then these types of goals can help you drive forward. But if you are trying to start a new behavior, then I think it would be far better to start with an identity-based goal. So these three things I'm talking about, this inner circle of your identity, second circle of your performance, and third is of your appearance. So I want to be a great devotee. That is a great goal. But that starts from your appearance. Outside in, it is happening. Outside circle of these three circles is appearance. So that is, I want to be a great devotee. But what's your identity now is, I am the type of a person who never misses on chanting. We need to develop this identity first of all. So on based on this identity, then there will be performance. Then I do 16 rounds in a row. And then your appearance will be like, it looks like you have chanted well. So when our goals are based on our appearance and performance, then they are not long-lasting compared to the goals which are based on our identity. And therefore, the example of an elephant is always given, you know, this identity. The elephant is held back not by the puny rope, but by the belief system. You might be knowing that, you know, a baby elephant is tied to the pole with the rope. The rope is attached, rope is tied to the peg and also to the leg of a small baby elephant. And then the baby cannot break it, actually. Baby don't have the strength. But it is accustomed to think that I am bound. And even if the elephant grows bigger, still the same tiny rope will be able to bind that elephant. Now the elephant has the strength to break, but it has been conditioned to think that it cannot. So this belief system we need to change first of all. So we need to make our identity in such a way that I am the type of the person I want to be a devotee. Just to give an example of working out. A person who works out consistently is the type of the person who can become strong. You agree? So we need to develop the identity of someone who works out first. And then move on to the performance and the appearance later. So start small and trust that the results will come as you develop a new identity. So there are two steps in this. So first of all is decide the type of person you want to be. And second is prove it to yourself with small wins. Just give an example. Okay. What type of person I want to be? I want to be a good chanter of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So what you can do is, what is your identity? Type of person who daily chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And what is the small win we can offer? Small win is I chanted one round attentively at least today. Just another example is someone wants to become a better writer. What is the identity? Then become a type of a person who writes 1,000 words per day. And what is the small win which we can give is write one paragraph each day. This week at least. So another is someone wants to be a better friend. Then what is the identity? That become the type of a person who always stays in touch. This is my identity, that I'm always in touch with my friends. And what is the small win I can offer is I call a friend on every Saturday. So that is the what a small win I'm giving to myself. Many times we work on deadlines, but this doesn't work in terms of habits. We need to set a schedule and not a deadline. If we declare a deadline by this day, I will become a great chanter, by this date I'll have completed reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by this date I will chant all these my rounds attentively, it's not going to happen. So rather we can make a schedule instead of a deadline. We can make a schedule that I read 2 pages of Srimad Bhagavatam daily. I at least try to chant my rounds attentively. So this is a schedule actually. So when schedule is given to the habits, see, most of the times we work on motivation. we hear some fiery talk and then we get motivated. But this motivation is not going to last long. Motivation can come and motivation can go as well. But when we have given a schedule to our habits, just to give an example, previously I used to memorize verses which I like or which are like the striking verses. Some verse is very beautiful, then I would memorize that verse and I would love memorizing. But in a year, so many verses I could memorize, they were very less. But then I made a schedule that every Monday, every Thursday, I memorize a verse. So every Monday, I have a schedule that after Bhagavatam class, I'll memorize one verse. Every Thursday, after Bhagavatam class, I'll memorize one verse. So after making a schedule, so even if I feel inspired, or whether I don't feel inspired to do, I have to do it because I have set a schedule for my new habit. Once that habit is formed, then what happens? It becomes very easy. And imagine you just do 2 verses a week. It means at least 104 verses you do in a year. If that's what the schedule you give to a new habit, let us say of forming or memorizing of verses. So this is what we need to do. We don't need to work on the deadline that I'll do these many or work on inspiration basis, but we need to work on setting up schedules in our life. And we need to focus on practice actually and not on the performance. Malcolm Gladwell, he has nicely said, practice is not the thing you do once you are good. It's the thing you do that makes you good. So that is what being said about practice. It's not the thing you do once you are good. Once you become good, then you don't start practicing actually. Practice is the thing actually you keep doing and then you become good at the end of the practice. So therefore, we need to focus on the practice. We need to focus on the system and not on the end result which we want to achieve. And okay, I have set a schedule for a new habit. Let us say I have set a habit of shloka memorization, for that matter, will continue. And I have scheduled my new habit of memorizing shloka every Monday and every Thursday. What if I slip? What if on some Monday I am not able to do? Yeah, the most successful people in the world, they also slip on their habits. What separates them is not their ability to avoid mistakes, but it's their ability to get back on track quickly. So we can obviously come on track again. Okay, one Monday I missed. Most of them, what happens is we miss one Monday, then we miss one Thursday, and we make our self-identity that I always keep on missing and then I give up. So, but rather, okay, one Monday I have missed. Okay, no problem. Then Thursday I will do. Again, next Monday I will not. Even if I slip, we can again come back on track. So what will happen? Instead of 100 and 104 verses in a year, I will do 103 or 102. But that's also a great achievement compared to zero. So even if we fall, even if we slip from our formation of a habit, we can still come on track again immediately. And some of the strategies that can help us is, the first is to put your habits on your calendar. Now, habits, they need a time and place to live in your life. That every, our goal is to have memorized, let us say, few verses from Bhagavad Gita and some verses from Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, memorizing. Then as I told, every Monday and a Thursday. So we need to put it on calendar. Every Monday 9 a.m. I will be memorizing verse. Every Thursday morning 9 a.m. I will be memorizing verse. So I have a habit and I'm giving time and place for my habit to live in my life. So this is the first thing which we need to do. The second is stick to your schedule even in a small ways. Even in a small ways, whatever. Okay, sometimes it may happen that your Monday is very tight, Monday is very hectic.
and then you didn't get time to memorize a full verse, okay, no problem. Just memorize one word or half a line. If you want to be a writer, then first thing, as I told, give a time and place for your new habit. You want to be a good writer, okay, I write every Monday, every Thursday, I write at 9 o'clock, I'm on my table and chair. Okay, you are very busy on that particular day, at least you can write one paragraph, if not thousands of words. The third thing which can help us is have someone who expects something of you. When, putting on seat belts is also a habit before driving, right? In most of the countries, this is made a compulsory law. That when a government, when police department is expecting of us that we should do this, then consciously or unconsciously we develop this habit that we start a vehicle, we can make a trigger that once I turn on ignition, immediately I should put on the seat belt. So why we immediately do? Because someone is expecting us to follow. So when whatever a new habit I have developed, I report myself to someone that yes, this person is there. To him, I will tell that, yes, every Monday, I will show you whatever new thing I have written. Every Monday, I will share with you a new verse which I have memorized. So Monday, I have told someone that, okay. Then on Monday, when I see that person, I'll remember that I have to tell him, and then I'll immediately memorize the verse for him to tell too. So when someone is there who can expect from you, then you... there are greater chances that you stick on to the new habit. And then the fourth point, and the most important point, is design your environment for success. So we need to have a conducive environment for our habits as well. Just to give an example, if someone wants to give up the bad habit of drinking, and that person's building, he is living on the first floor, and the ground floor is the shop, winery shop. So that for that person actually to give up the bad habit of drinking will be a little difficult, because it's being made very easy. If someone wants to give up the bad habit of eating junk food while working, so how that person can design the environment is that make that thing very difficult to obtain. Keep it on the kitchen wherein you have to climb on some stool and a table, and then keep it at the height. Then we can use our laziness actually. We are lazy to get up and do something. Some things are kept at far off place, then we tend to be lazy and no, not go there. And then we become lazy actually to not pick up that junk food as well then. So we can certainly design our environment for success. Therefore, there is a very nice quote I came across. A great life is not about great, huge things. It's about small things that make a big difference. So we need to focus on the small things actually, and not the big ones to start with. And for this, there is a very wonderful and fascinating example of this cycling team of Great Britain, the aggregation of marginal gains. What it is all about, I'll tell you briefly. No British cyclist had ever won Tour de France. And Mr. Brailsford was appointed as the manager and performance director for this Team Sky to change this pattern. It was a great challenge, but his approach was simple. He believed in this concept of aggregation of marginal gains. And he explained it as 1% margin of improvement in everything you do. And his tip was that if you improve every area related to cycling by just 1%, then those small gains would add up to a remarkable improvement. and they started optimizing things you might expect: nutrition of the rider, the training program, the ergonomics of the bike seats, the weight of the tires and everything. But the Brailsford, this person, he didn't stop here. They searched for 1% improvement in tiny areas which were overlooked by almost everyone else, discovering the pillow that offered the best sleep to the rider and taking it with them to the hotel, testing for most effective type of massage gel, teaching riders the best way to wash their hands to avoid infection. They searched for 1% improvement everywhere. And this Brailsford, he believed that if they could successfully execute this strategy, then this Team Sky would be in a position to win Tour de France in 5 years of time. And believe me or not, he was wrong. Actually, they won it in just 3 years. In 2012, Team Sky rider Bradley Wiggins, he was the first British cyclist to win Tour de France. Same year, this Brailsford coached British cycling team for 2012 Olympic Games, and they dominated the entire competition by winning 70% of the gold medals available. 2013 also, they won. Many have referred to this British cycling feats in the Olympics and Tour de France over the past 10 years since then as the most successful run in the modern cycling history. So this Brailsford strategy, you know, most of the time for us, it's so easy to overestimate the importance of one defining moment and underestimate the value of making better decisions on a daily basis. Almost every habit you have, good or bad, is the result of many small decisions which we make over time. But how we forget easily to make these small changes. So often we convince ourselves that change is only meaningful if there is something large or visible outcome associated with it. It can be anything, losing weight or building a business or becoming a good writer, becoming a good reader, traveling the world, or any kind of goal for that matter. Something earth-shattering improvement which we want to make. But improving just by 1%, it's not notable, but it's meaningful, especially in a long run. And it also works in the reverse way as well. If you find yourself stuck with a bad habits or poor results, it's usually not because something happened overnight. It's the process which you have gone through. So if we are chanting inattentively today, it's not that you have become inattentive today. There are big ways in which we have been chanting inattentively since days, and that's the result what we are getting today. So if you want to become better, start focusing on 1% improvement. Okay, 16 rounds seems to be very big. Okay, let me chant with becoming attentive at least for one mantra, at least for one round of Hare Krishna mantra. So this 1% betterment actually can give you a long-term result when looking in the perspective of long run. So in the beginning, actually, there is no difference between making a choice that is 1% better or 1% worse. As time goes on, the small improvements or these declines, actually, they get compounded. As we keep money in the bank and then we have a compound interest. So similarly, the same thing happens with the habit as well. Good 1% better you become, you invest that 1% better, then you reap a result, and that's how you become a better person. So there is a very, very nice calculation actually. If you multiply 1 by 1, the answer is 1. Similarly, 1 to the power 365 is also equal to 1. But if you will be amazed, no, that 1.01 to the power 365 is equal to 37.78. And vice versa, if I reduce by 0.1%, 0.99 to the power 365 is equal to 0.03. So this shows that even 1% we become better for the period of a year. 365 signifies number of days in a year. So if you become just 1% better every day, at the end, we are going to be a better person. But provided we focus on becoming better every day. And in this regard, there is a very nice story of Milo of Croton, which I'd like love to share. And this is basically based on this habit formation. Almost like nearly 2,500 years ago, there was this incredible strength and athlete who lived near the hills of southern Italy. His name was Milo of Croton. And a successful wrestler of his day. He was a six-time wrestling champion in ancient Olympic games in Greece. And n number of medals he had achieved at that particular time during his days. Now the important question is, why I'm telling you this? He had got an incredible strength, but his incredible strength teaches us a lesson, how to build. He built muscles and improved his health. So this lesson also applies to us, how to build these muscles like this Milo of Croton. And when he was interviewed, he employed a profound strategy, how he got his strength. So he told a story. This story is told to many times to football, by football trainers to football players. One day, there was a newborn calf near Milo's home. So this wrestler decided to lift this small animal up and carry it on his shoulder. The next day he returned and he did the same. And Milo continued this strategy for next 4 years, hoisting this calf onto his shoulders each day as it grew, until he was no longer lifting a calf, but a full-fledged four-year-old bull. And those who know that how the growth of the cow and the bull is, that 4 years they become very heavy in their weight. So the core principles what we can learn from this is, there are three principles basically this Milo teaches us. The first is, you start light. Instead of focusing on volume, we start light. Did Milo try to lift the full-grown bull on the day one? Of course not. He began with a newborn calf. Given his wrestling prowess, it is very likely that this was the weight that was very easy for him. So he started lifting with a small baby calf. The second lesson is, don't miss on a particular day. Milo's strategy wouldn't have worked very well if he tried to pick up the bull on its birthday every year. The calf would have grown too much and Milo would have grown too little. So daily he would do that. And then the third is a gradual increase in every step. Every day Milo's calf this grew just a little bit, ounce here and a pound there. And yet these tiny gains added up to a very significant weight in a relatively short amount of time. So in the matter of just 4 years, he became the number one athlete almost on the planet at that particular point of time. So this is what we can learn from this Milo. So in these habits, there are various stages. The first is unconscious incompetence. Second is conscious incompetence. Third is conscious competence. And fourth is unconscious competence. I'd like to clarify this with the example of it. Imagine a child riding a bicycle. So what is this first stage? Unconscious incompetence. At this stage, we don't even know that we don't know. Unconscious means the child don't know how to ride a bike. And incompetence means he can't ride a bike. The second stage is conscious incompetence. It means the child is aware of riding a bike. He's conscious of it. But still he cannot ride. That is incompetence. The next stage is conscious competence. Now he is conscious that how to ride bike and concentrate hard, and now he is competent. Yes, with conscious thought and effort, the child is competent to ride a bike. And then the last stage is unconscious competence. Unconscious means he doesn't have to think how to ride. He has become so competent that he can wave to others while riding. Because of this behavioral pattern, it has become automatic, without even touching the handle of the bicycle. With two arms raised up, the person can ride on the bicycle. So similarly, in our journey of forming a new habit for this new year, we want to make our journey from unconscious incompetence. We are not aware even of what is fully absorbed attentive chanting. Then we make some efforts, we become conscious. Then also we will be incompetent. Then slowly there will be conscious competence. And one point of time will come that we will be unconscious of what we will be doing, but still we will be competent in what we are doing. So this is how we can form a very wonderful new habits in our sadhana bhakti and enter into this new year. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Oh. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, so much wonderful class.
Oh, me have the question. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the
Hare Krishna. Pram, all goes to Srila
Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and very cool, like we have to make slowly the good habits, and it's like joining the conference call every day is a very good habit, I think, so we can do chanting together and hear the Bhagavatam class. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, beautiful class. Hare Krishna. Anybody?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Nice, like, practical application you have shown. And it's very nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I don't have a question. That was very nice class.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanot Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class. Exactly, you told points that we would usually miss in forming a habit, how small changes makes a big impact later, and then also how the process and practice have to be given importance, and forming a schedule. And, there's so many examples. Very nice class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Very inspirational. Usually, when New Year comes, you make resolutions that will be broken very easily. But your class gives us confidence that we can progress in spiritual life, and we can cultivate habits that are conducive to our spiritual advancement. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Thank you all. Wish you all the best and Happy New Year to all. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If no one has any question, we can end now. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He slays Krishna Dhana Prabhu ki.